Is based on the first and the second chapter of the book of Daniel. So this book of Daniel, the first six chapters are historical and the other six are prophetical. Now this man Daniel, he was from the tribe of Judah. He lived then in the land of Canaan. Now this man Daniel, he is called by Josephus, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. We find in one of the books or chapters of Daniel that an angel spake unto him and called him a man greatly beloved. This man, Daniel, he was gifted with wisdom and understanding from God, and he had that gift of interpreting dreams and revealing visions. God gives various gifts to some of his children, and he gives them with a certain purpose, that they will not be concealed, but that in due time these gifts will be made useful for his honor and also for their own benefit. And we find likewise in the beginning of this first chapter that a king is spoken of by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. This king, he was a son of another king who reigned over the Babylonian Empire by the name of Naaplasar. This king, he formed a great army, and he put his son Nebuchadnezzar at the head of this army. There was a revolt among the Syrians and the Phoenicians, and he sent his son with this immense army to quell this revolt. And in going to put these people to peace, he likewise overran these two countries and came into the land of Canaan, and he also has subdued five other countries besides this. Therefore you read that in this first verse, in the second year of Jehoiakim, or the third year of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar came into the land of Judah, and he likewise carried away captive and many of the prince's sons and those of the nobility. And he took with him also certain vessels out of the house of God, and carried them into the land of Shinar, and put them in the house of his God. Now this king, Nebuchadnezzar, he then, by this invasion, carried away quite a few young men who were brilliant men. They likewise had been educated and had been reared, and they were to have an important position in the land of Canaan. But now this king took them as hostages into Babylon. This city, Babylon, you read very much about in the Word of God. It was one of the most beautifulest cities that ever was upon the face of the earth. There were two men that began to build this city, and these two men could not continue, but Nebuchadnezzar, after invading all these countries with all the riches that he took with him, he built this city and made it one of the wonders of the world. Now, this city was built upon a plain. It was built square. It was built that it was such a magnificent city that he put around this city walls that were 87 feet thick, 350 feet high. In between the buildings and the wall, he likewise had a ditch built, wherein he cast numerous of stones and water. This city then was 60 feet in circumference. He had 25 gates built on each side of this particular city. There were four sides to this city. And these gates, they were built of solid brass. They were beautiful gates. And in between the gates, he likewise had three towers situated, 10 feet higher than the walls. And these gates, from these gates, there ran a street to the other gate on the opposite side of the city. There were 50 streets, 125 feet wide. It was 576 squares in this particular city. The river Euphrates ran through this city, and he had walls built just as high as the walls and as thick as they were around about the city alongside of this river to prevent the river from overflowing into the city. When they built these walls, he stopped the river Euphrates and dug a lake first so that the river would enter into the lake while they built these walls alongside of the river. Now this city then, Babylon, was called the glory of the Chaldeans' excellency. It was called the queen of the earth. There are many chapters even in Babylon referring to this particular city, and finally it was destroyed completely and it's not to be found anymore. But while this king reigned, it was one of the wonders of the world. And now into this city he carried these young men, Daniel and his three friends. These men, they were of noble descendants. They were very smart. Not only were they smart, but they were very good looking. They were without blemish, as the Bible says. And now this man, Nebuchadnezzar, he sought out of all those men that he had carried away, those that were without blemish and that had understanding and wisdom and science, and he decided that he would educate these men. He would teach them more of the sciences of the Chaldeans and likewise teach them the language of the land. He then took certain of these men and gave them unto one of the chief eunuchs to take care of. And he likewise made a certain diet for them. They were to eat of the king's table and drink of the king's wine. For 3 years they were to be educated in this way, and at the end of 3 years they were to be brought in before the king. These young men then, Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were in this heathen city, Babylon. They had been born and brought up in Canaan and had been instructed in the true religion. And where now they were brought to Babylon, the king put a certain diet for them to eat of. But Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not eat of the king's diet. The reason that he would not eat of this diet was because there were things in this diet that the Jews were forbidden to eat. As you know, God was very good unto the Jewish people, giving unto them rules and regulations of eating and what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat. There was probably in this diet swine flesh, which they were not allowed to eat. And now we notice in this young man, Daniel, and his three friends, according to the commentary, they were, some say 12 years of age, others say about 17 or 18 years of age. That's how young they were. Because you read that they're called even children in one of these chapters. These young men, they had not only been trained in their religion, but God had given them that special grace in their souls. they refused to partake of the diet that the king had given them. Now, they hadn't lost their religion. If you and I maybe were carried into a strange country, we were away from everybody that we knew, nobody knew us anymore, and we didn't have any grace in our souls, it would be a question how we would act and how we would live. We'd probably, in a little while, be just like the heathens that we were living with. We see that so often amongst some of our dear young people, born and reared in this church, taught and instructed in the doctrines of our most holy religion, and it doesn't take much when they leave us that they haven't anything left of it. But here these young men, they had that special grace that prohibited them from partaking of foods that God had forbidden them to eat. Oh, I was thinking about this, my hearers, and I thought, what a blessing. If it may be in the hearts of some of our young people, like it was in the hearts of these three or four men, or if we have in our hearts a purpose not to go on in the sinful things of this world, not to mingle anymore with those things that are evil and sinful in God's sight, and we have that purpose in our hearts that we're going to serve God and obey Him, oh, what a blessing when we are young in life, if God gives us this special grace. How many of my young people have this grace? Oh, I feel for yous. I wish that God would give you this grace, that you would be separated from the world and everything that is therein, and that your heart was dedicated unto this God, to love Him, to fear Him, and to worship Him. This God meant everything to Daniel and his three friends. Does He do so to you? Has He the uppermost part in your heart? Do you love Him? Do you wish that you could love Him more, serve Him more, fear Him more? Oh, how many hearts are like that amongst my hearers? Daniel and his three friends then, they were in this heathen country and they were already shining as burning lights. And we read that Daniel, he had found favor and tender love in the sight of one of these eunuchs that was placed over them to see to it that they ate of the king's table. Another instance, my hearers, of the goodness of God. If we find favor, if somebody loves us, and somebody wishes to do well unto us, we have to acknowledge God for these things. I know it's a blessing to find favor and to find someone that loves us in this life, but it's a much greater blessing, or a far greater blessing, if we find favor in the sight of God, and we may believe that He tenderly loves us. How much better, my hearers, than the tender love of any human being here on this earth. But God inclines the hearts of human beings towards others, and so this eunuch, he had seen something in Daniel that he liked. He, with all his wisdom, with all his understanding, he probably was very meek, very humble, very upright, very sincere. And this man who took care of him, he liked him so much. But Daniel went to him, and he spoke unto him and explained unto him why that he didn't want to eat of the king's table, because it would be sin in the sight of God. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't afraid to speak to this man. You know, you and I, we don't like to do things that are wrong either. But if somebody questions us, why don't you want to do that? Nine times out of ten, we don't dare tell him. We don't dare to say, well, that's a sin in God's sight. I don't want to sin against that good God. We'd rather go away from the person and keep it to ourselves. But Daniel didn't. He told him and explained to him the reasons why. And now, because this man so tenderly loved Daniel, he probably would have consented to Daniel's request, but he said to Daniel, if you don't eat of the king's table like the other ones do, why, in the course of time, you'll look so sickly compared to the others that the king will be questioning me and asking me what's the matter. And then probably I'll lose my position and lose my head with it. Well, Daniel says, prove us once. Let us eat pulse for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, then you examine us. And if we look like you think, then do with us as you see fit. But give us a 10-day trial and see what takes place. This pulse that they ate was nothing else but lentils and rice and beans and various vegetables. So this man, he consented. And he took away the king's diet and he gave him pulse for 10 days. Now this was a miracle of God. Because at the end of 10 days, these young men were much fairer, much fatter, and better looking than those that were eating from the king's diet. You and I would say, well, meat and wine and things that are good to eat, they make a person look good. What kind of a diet is this that these fellas had that would make them look so fair and so good? The commentary says distinctly that it was a wonder of God, that God, who knew what was in the hearts of these young men, he honored them therein. They that honor me, he says, I will honor. And they honored God in this heathen country, and God honored them, because when this man examined them, why, he had to admit that they looked much better than all the other ones that were eating from the king's table. And therefore he took away the king's diet and he gave him their diet, pulse. And so they continued for 3 years, according to this chapter. They remained in the custody of this particular eunuch and were educated and were taught the language of the Chaldeans. And at the end of 3 years, they were brought in before the king. And when he examined all the young men that were presented to him, he found that Daniel, Ananiah, Asahel, and Azariah were much smarter and much more gifted with wisdom and understanding than any of all the magicians that he had in his realm. Says they were 10 times smarter than them. Now this king, he was a smart man too, because he examined them himself personally. He was gifted to do this. And after he had thoroughly examined them, he found them to be just as the Bible says. Therefore, they were permitted to stand in the presence of the king. And Daniel continued until the reign of Cyrus. Why does that say that at the end of this chapter? Because Daniel was with the kings of Babylon 70 years. He was in and amongst the councils of these kings, who were some of the greatest monarchs that ever lived. For 70 years he was in their palaces. There were three: Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus, with whom Daniel remained. Therefore it says, and Daniel remained to the reign of Cyrus. How old Daniel became, the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't even say where he died. According to historians, he died in the land of Persia, in Susa, and he became a very old man. But we find him now in the palace of the king Nebuchadnezzar. And now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed dreams. This is a problem. Now these young men, for 3 years they had been educated and taught the language of the land of Chaldea. And now in the second year of the reign of the king, we find him dreaming dreams. And these dreams, they troubled his spirit so that he couldn't sleep. His sleep departed from him. You know, sometimes we have dreams. Everybody has dreams, I think. Dreams come because you're busy sometimes during the day. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes they just come ordinarily. And sometimes we're only too glad they are dreams. Isn't that true? We wake up and, oh, I'm glad that was only a dream. And sometimes dreams, they terrify us. Sometimes you see things in dreams that are so true, and you fear sometimes that those dreams may take place. Now, there have been various saints that have had dreams, and they were fulfilled. They were godly dreams. And this king, he had a dream, and he was so troubled that he couldn't sleep any longer. And therefore, he called in all the wise men and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to interpret the dream that he had. Now this king, he awoke, he was so troubled, his spirit was troubled, and when he began to think about the dream, he couldn't remember what it was. You ever have that? That you couldn't remember it? How often that takes place with us. Sometimes you want to tell somebody something and you can't remember it. And he couldn't remember his dream. Why couldn't he remember it? Well, God took it away from him. God had a purpose with this. It was a godly dream that he had, and therefore his spirit was so troubled. And because God had taken now this dream away and he couldn't remember it, he sat there thinking, what should I do? He thought, well, I'll make use of these magicians, of these astrologers and these sorcerers that I got. I'll tell them they got to tell me my dream and give me the interpretation thereof. So he called them all in. And he told them that he had had a dream and that he had been so troubled about it, but now his dream had gone from him. And now they should tell him what his dream was and give him the interpretation thereof. That seems to be very rash. Doesn't seem to be right, does it? It wasn't. These wise men, they said to him, tell us the dream, and we will give you the interpretation of it. Well, he says, I know. He says, you could gain time. He says, if I told you the dream, but the dream is gone from me. He says, and now you tell me my dream and the interpretation thereof, and if you don't tell me it, he says, you will be cut to pieces and your houses will be made a dunghill. But he says, if you tell me the dream, I will give you great rewards. So he threatened to cut them to pieces and to make their houses dunghills. Oh, how awful was this king. How terrible was this for these wise men. And they began to plead with him and said to him, why, king, there was never a king upon earth that ever asked anything like this off of an astrologer or a wise man or a sorcerer. And the thing that the king wants to know, and no one on earth can tell this king this, it is only the gods that don't dwell in the flesh. They are the only ones that will be able to tell the king his dream and the interpretation of it. Now you marvel at these men, these wise men. They worshipped idols. They were heathens. And still they speak about the God that don't dwell in the flesh. They believed that there was a God that knew these things which took place in secret, that knew the dreams and the thoughts that run through the minds of creatures, and that the hearts of every one of them are naked and open before him in heaven above. And therefore they spake in this wise to the king. And when the king heard this, he became furious. He became so angry. He said, all the wise men in my realm, they shall be slain. And he made a decree that they all should be slain. Another awful decree made by a king in his wrath and in his anger. You know, there's a saying, an angry man, he's just like a man that's standing upside down on his head. He sees everything wrong. And that's the way this king saw everything wrong. When you're angry and when you're furious, you do things that are inconsistent. In England, they have a saying, and never go to sea with the storm raging. And that's the same way with the man that's angry. He never should make any decrees until his anger has subsided. And this king, he made a decree that all the wise men in his realm should be slain. And they sought likewise the life of Daniel and his three friends. Why? Because they were the wisest men amongst them. Even the king had said they were 10 times wiser than all the wise men that he had, and therefore there was probably a lot of jealousy amongst the men, and they sought the lives of Daniel and his three friends. And now it appears that Daniel didn't know anything about this. He hadn't heard anything about what was going on by the king, about his dreams, and likewise the decree that he had made, until a certain guard, who was captain over the army by the name of Arioch, he went forth to slay all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel, he spoke to him in wisdom and understanding, and asked him why the king's decree was so hasty. So Arioch explained unto him what had taken place before the king. And then Daniel, he went in unto the king. And he pleaded with the king and said unto him, if you will give me a little time, then I will tell you the interpretation of your dream. It seems that the king consented to this, because we find that Daniel went away from the king's palace, and he went home and he told his three friends what had taken place, and that they were soon to be slain, because the king had dreamed a dream and it was gone from him, and he wanted the dream to be told and he wanted the interpretation of it. And he spake to his three friends and said that they should desire mercies of God so that they would not be slain with the wise men of Babylon. Here we have Daniel. He likewise would be subject to be slain. It became then a matter of life and death for Daniel and his three friends. And therefore we find Daniel speaking in faith to the king. I marvel at him, that he said, give me a little time, and then I will tell you the interpretation of your dream. He must have had such strong faith inwardly to believe that God would reveal this secret unto him. That is why he spake in this way to the king. Oh, what trust and what faith Daniel had in this God of heaven and of earth. And when his three friends were told likewise concerning this matter, then they desired the mercies of God, that he would reveal unto them this secret, that they would not be slain. My friends, are there any amongst my hearers that desire the mercies of God, that you may not be slain. We are all, as these four young men, subject to die. There is a sentence of death hanging over the head of each and every one of us. And now, where this sentence has not yet been executed, and where it has not been brought home unto your heart, you live peaceably under it. But those that are wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and who fear that if death comes, they will be lost, that they will be damned by that just and holy God, they desire mercies of the God of heaven and of earth. They, like Daniel and his three friends, they go on their knees in their inner chamber, beseeching this God for mercy. How many do I have amongst my hearers that are beseeching God for mercy? They desired that God would reveal this secret to them. And what is the secret that such souls desire? Oh, they desire that he would reveal that they are his children, that he has sent his dear son Jesus into this world for them. They desire that he would seal home to their hearts that all their sins have been pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ, that there is an atonement made for their souls. This is a secret, my hearers. Secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but they're hidden, but they're revealed are for us and our children. But this secret God reveals, and in through the ministry of his word, sometimes in an inner chamber, a poor soul lost, undone, fearing that the end is going to come, is given a revelation of Jesus Christ to their soul. And they are given to believe that God has no wrath, no anger in store for them, that when death comes, they will be taken to be with him in glory above. Oh, what a mercy. If any one of us are desiring these mercies of God, these four young men, they went on their knees. And I believe that they prayed day and night, because it was a matter of life and death. It was an urgent case. Do I hear somebody say, oh, I wish my case was like that. My case isn't so urgent. It don't trouble me. There was a time that it did. But, oh, it seems as if it subsided. And, oh, I don't go on my knees so often. It doesn't appear as if I will be slain and I will be lost, as I thought at one time and it pressed so upon me. Their case was urgent. Oh, there was a necessity. They needed an answer, and they proceeded to pray and to continue to pray. And we find that Daniel, he likewise, in the night season, while he was praying probably, God revealed unto him this secret. God made known unto him this dream and the interpretation thereof. Oh, my hearers, could I entreat you to go on your knees and seek this same God, this God who Daniel and his three friends prayed to? He's still there, my hearers. He's still the same God. Do you need mercy? Do you need pardon? Do you need forgiveness? Oh, it may take a long time. It might come on the day of your death. But oh, may you continue to seek, to pray for the mercies of this God in heaven above. He never lets any seek in vain. He never turns any away that call upon him. This we have in Daniel. Daniel received an answer to his prayer. He was given to know the secret and the mystery of this dream and the interpretation thereof. And oh, how many souls have likewise have received certain things from God while they were alone, while they were praying, while they were entreating Him for mercy. Oh, they had a soft word spoken to them. They had a promise given to them. And they were given the hope in His word. Oh, how encouraging. Although you did not receive what you desired, you still were led to seek and to go on and seek. And you were given the hope that you would receive in due time what you were seeking after. Oh, I encourage every one of you to seek this God like Daniel. Oh, it's such a wonder when God reveals mercy, love, and pity and compassion to a poor sinner. This Daniel received then the explanation of this dream from God. My time is gone, my hearers. But oh, I can realize something of what Daniel says in the next verse. Oh, he blessed the God of heaven and of earth, the God of his fathers, because he had revealed this secret to him. It meant his life. It meant everything to him. And oh, if God reveals this to you, one of you seekers, oh, then you will bless him. You will praise him. Your mouth will overflow with gratitude to him for what he has done to you. Oh, may that be your portion, every one that is seeking mercy at his feet. That's all for today.